Book of Romans, chapter 8, if you will, please. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Would like to speak on a marvelous subject that I have given the unlikely title of Growing Up into Adoption. Growing Up into Adoption. Romans, chapter 8, starting with verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or our Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The question before us is, are we true sons of God, or are we adopted sons of God? He says that if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. And he says his Spirit even bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And yet he says we have not received the spirit of bondage again, meaning we are no longer to fall back into servitude, being servants under the law, spirit of bondage under the law, and therefore fearing. Nor are we to be subject, bound by sin and fearing. But we now have the spirit of adoption. We have a spirit of sonship. We have that free spirit of belonging, and there is no fear there. Now, it's wonderful to be brought from a spirit, from a position of servitude, unto a position where you are adopted as a son. But it's more wonderful if God is our real father, and if we are true sons rather than adopted sons. So the question before us this morning is, must we settle to be adopted sons of God, as marvelous as that is, and as wonderful it is to be adopted by God into his family, and treated as a true son, as marvelous as that is, and what a tremendous privilege it is, far beyond anything we ever would deserve, yet must we settle for being adopted sons, where he is not truly our father, where we are just living with him. We are not of the same cut. We are not from the same that is within him, but we are from something else, and he has just agreed to treat us as though we were his sons, and we are living in his family as adopted sons. Now, it's true that once we were not sons, and now we are. And it looks like adoption, because once we were not his son, we had another father, even the devil, after one manner of speaking. Another manner of speaking, there's other truths. But we have been adopted into his family. It looks like it. The words say adoption. But in Galatians chapter 4, if you'll turn there, and in verses 1 through 7, also the words say adoption, yet they seem to imply actual sonship. They do not categorically state that, but they strongly seem to suggest it. And so we read, he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's called the heir. Now it's true that an adopted son can be an heir. But the way it says it would seem to rather imply that he's talking about the heir as the son of the father who is the Lord. Let us go on and see this. But as under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, of the father, see. And if he's a father, then he's a son. Not just the master, but he's also called his father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, Christ, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Our Father, Our Father. The second thing that seems to suggest this is that there's a spiritual witness within, there's a witness within that he is your father. Now, an adopted child doesn't have a witness within that he is his father. All right? You don't have that witness that he's your father. You have questions if you don't know. And if you know you're adopted, then you know there is no witness there. But we have a witness within that he is our father. The third implication is that the emphasis here is not in changing families. The emphasis of these verses is in growing up. It's a child who's an heir under tutorship, but when he grows up into adoption. The emphasis isn't when he changes families and becomes adopted. It's when he grows up. So everything in this context suggests, in spite of the word adoption sitting there, that he's talking about a true son and not an adopted son. In Romans chapter 8, and in verses 22 and 23, it also says adoption. But here it's speaking of an adoption when we are changed to meet Christ. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So here very clearly it says that the adoption will come when we have our bodies are changed, the incorruptible will be like him, and we go to meet him. So although the other point was talking about even now being sons, yet it talks about growing up into adopted sons, and here when we have reached the growing up period in finality, we'll be adopted. Well, what about now? Other scriptures, behold, now are we the sons of God. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. There's a real truth now, so listen. Verily, verily. Except a man be born of water, that's water baptism, and of the Spirit, that's regeneration, when the Holy Spirit makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things become new, and the water is that which ratifies it. And it's not talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost at all. He that is born of the Spirit and of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It wouldn't help Nicodemus, even if you could go back into your mother's womb and be born again. Wouldn't do you any good, because that which is born of flesh is flesh. Flesh only begets flesh. And flesh acts like flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now here he says we are born or begotten of the Spirit of God. And that is not adoption. If we are begotten by the Spirit of God, that makes us true sons. That is not adoption. You adopt a child, you don't begat him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm going to tie this together in a minute. We'll pull out a piece of the puzzle that will tie all the rest together and get that piece, and all the rest will fit right around it. First Thessalonians 3:13. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Even what? Our Father. At the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. At the presence, parousia, coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here he says, even our Father. Now, if I am an adopted son, that does not make him, that makes me a legal son, but does not make him a true father. But here he is our Father. Now, the mystery is cleared up by a spiritual truth that I think is locked up in the Greek word adoption. Translated adoption. The Greek word for adoption, huiothesia, comes from two Greek words, huios, meaning son or male child, and theskia, or theskia, meaning putting in a rightful place. So it means putting a male child or a son in a rightful place. Now, the word can mean two things. It can, first of all, mean legal adoption. It can mean a legal action to set a child who was not your child, that you decide to adopt, into a rightful place in the family as your son, so that he can inherit, be an heir, and he can transact business of his father. Or it can also mean that a boy has now grown up and become an adult son and has been put into his rightful place as a son. I am told that in those days that a boy, when he became 21, was taken to the marketplace. And all the business transacted, you know, at the marketplace of the city, at the gate. And there he is put in a prominent place on display, as it were, by his father, with some ceremony attached to it, displaying that his son has now grown up. He has now come to this legal age, and his father knows, the rest of the city doesn't necessarily know, letting them know, as he stands by his father, that he has an association with his father. Oh, I always wondered who that kid was. Now they know who who the father of him is. They know he is of age, that he can legally do business now. They can do business with him. He has been authorized by his father to do business. His father stands him. That's the confirmation in the witnesses of the others about him, that if he transacts something, they can transact it. His father will back it up, because his father has now legally authorized him to do business. Are you getting the picture? Now, I think that the scripture does refer to adoption. I think that there is a truth in which we will another king over us, king of sin, the scripture says. We had another father, even as the Jews. Jesus said, you have a father, you're a devil. And we were adopted by the grace of God into his family. But I think that it also refers to a deeper spiritual truth. So many times, Jesus and the apostles said things that were true, but pointed to a deeper truth, a greater truth. They always took a truth and expanded it into a more marvelous spiritual truth. And I think the deeper spiritual truth is that we are adopted sons legally, but we are true sons spiritually. We are adopted legally, but we are true sons spiritually. Remember that we are at the same time servants of God, sons of God, children, young men, or fathers, the bride of Christ, and priests of God, all at the same time, depending on which viewpoint you look at it. And that the scripture also teaches that there is a legal and a spiritual sense in relationship to our salvation. And that the prophecies to Israel point not only to natural Israel, but to spiritual Israel. And the truth here is, as we read in Romans, these other scriptures, that God took His Son, mentioned His Son Christ, that was His true Son, because He was born of a virgin, and He not only was the Son of Man, but He was the Son of God. And since the person is always the blood of his father, he was the blood of God. Not that God has blood, but that God created that life within him, which makes genetically, he is of the seed of his father, the seed Zoe to the father, and received the name of his father and the blood of his father. And there's a relationship, a true relationship with his father, and he is a true son. Now, we were not born of a virgin, so in a legal sense, we have to be adopted and as adopted sons. But God did something more wonderful than that, because nobody really likes to be adopted. I mean, I take that back. They do. They appreciate being adopted. But they don't like to be the fact that they are adopted rather than true sons. They would much rather be a true son. So God has done a spiritual work, and since Jesus Christ is the true son, we are then spiritually, we become in Christ as the body of Christ, so that we are true sons in Christ. We are not true sons outside of Christ. But in Christ, we become true sons. This is a great mystery, that we become one. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. We are members of His body. We are members of His body. We are not a separate body from Christ. We are His body. We are one with Him. He is our head. We are a headless body without Christ. And therefore, we are in Christ. His righteousness is imputed to us. The Father, when He looks at us, He's not us, but Christ. We are therefore spiritually true sons of God. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman, that's the church, clothed with the sun, that's Jesus, and the moon under her feet, the Old Testament dispensation that has no light of its own, but only reflects the light of the sun and the Christ, the New Testament, New Covenant. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, cried in birth, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. This is the visible church, pain to bring forth. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, or sign, and behold, a great red dragon, that's Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns, identified in the last times of the Antichrist government, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast into the earth, spiritually speaking. And the dragon stood before the woman, the visible church, which was ready to be delivered of that invisible child, a child that was invisible, from the outside, hidden within her, the invisible church, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Child, technon, neuter in Greek. Young child, neuter. Male and women. Male and female. And she brought forth a huios osen, a man-child, the invisible church, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, with Christ. Revelation 12, 2:28-29. He that overcometh, what I make to rule with a rod of iron. And her child was snatched up, hapazo, unto God and to his throne. Now here, this word son is huios, meaning male child or man child, or, with a little further revelation, adult son. Huios or sen, two words together. Literally, a son, a man. As it says, I think, in Vincent's Greek Word Study. Literally, a son, a man. Huios, a son, or sen, a man. A son, a man. A.T. Robinson says in his Greek Word Study that the word orsen is redundant. In other words, he is admitting that you've already said male when you said huios. But he can't see the truth implied. The Holy Ghost doesn't have anything that's redundant. If there's anything besides something else, the second is not redundant. If he says yea and amen, well, amen means yea. Yes, but one is Hebrew and one is Greek. It's for the Jews and the Gentiles both. It's the truth for both. When he says verily, verily, the second one's not redundant. It's important that he is building something with a greater emphasis. And so when he says, a male son, a male, he is emphasizing the masculinity here, because we are to grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ into a perfect man. Now, I want you to notice two things. Notice, number one, that this son was just born. But I want you to notice, number two, that he was born a full-grown man. No wonder they had said, who has seen such things? Who has heard such things? For when Zion, the church, travails, visible church, she bringeth forth her man's child, a man-child. Who has heard such things? Shall a nation be born in a day? And in one day shall a whole nation come forth? Or shall, what's the other word? Or shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? Born at once? Now, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, explains to us, teaches us, that this man, child, the invisible church, us, will be full grown someday. And Revelation 12:5 and Isaiah 66 teaches us that, or 65 or 66, whatever it is, teaches us that when this child is born, emerges from the visible church, it's snatched up. And Ephesians teaches us that before we're snatched up, we're full grown. So together we find the church is, the man child is just born. So it's not, we're not, God, the Holy Ghost is not content to call him we are a son, but a son, a man. He's an adult son. Ephesians 4:10 through 15. He that descended into the nether parts of the earth, Christ, after his death, is the same also that he ascended by his resurrection up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He might fill all things. He went up to fill all things. And the last thing he did before he went away was to pray for us. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, that means mature, man. Unto a mature man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. It's the antithesis, therefore. The perfection is the opposite of children. We might grow up. No more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. Ice, into him. Ice means you were once outside, but you come into it. We're growing up into him. In all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there's a fourfold truth we see here, and that's this. Number one, we are legally adopted. We change fathers. We change kings even. We're no longer in the same government we were once in. We no longer have the devil as our father to obey. We are not his children. Through repentance and water baptism, we are legally adopted into Christ Jesus, and you repent of your sins, and by through baptism you are legally an adopted child of God. Number two, we become true sons by the Spirit of God. We become anathen, born from above. Born from above. And if you're born from above, then you are not an adopted son of this earth. You're born or begotten from above. That makes you have a relationship from above. You become a true son of God by the Spirit, by regeneration in your heart. At the point of conversion, becoming new Christ. So by repentance, by grace, and by the water, you are legally an adopted son, but by the Spirit you become a true son. We'll talk more about this later. Now, after you're born, we then grow up into Christ. And as we grow up into Christ, God then sends us, takes us forth into the marketplace of this world, into the gates of this world, city, even Babylon. And there in the marketplace of this world, we are seen as mature sons, having grown up in God. And as the world sees us, as they look upon us, as the Father sets us up, they can see a resemblance now between us and our Father that they didn't see when we were little. And to put it, if you will pardon the expression, to put it into a homely, earthly example, and the type instead of the anti-type, when the child was little, as all little children, Jewish or not, he had a little ski nose, ski jump nose. But his father had a hook nose. And they couldn't see the resemblance so much between the son and the father. They could see some resemblance. He had dark eyes like his father. But they couldn't see. But now that he stands side by side, the same height as his father, he has a hook nose, his father has a hook nose, he has the same hook nose. They have the same chin, the same chin. They begin to see a resemblance. Are you getting the spiritual picture? As you begin to grow up into God, they begin to see that we're like our Father. Couldn't see it so much when we were little. In fact, the little fella, he wanted to run and play and do other things. His heart wasn't really in the harvest field with his father. His heart was not the same, but now as the elder son, he has also the vision of the, he had the vision of the harvest. He has the same heart, and he's working together with him. And he can now say, Dad, in a way where they can do things, they're right across, you see. They have the heart, they're both grown up. He's no longer a child and wants to do something else different. Get the picture. And so now we can do business like our father. We now have opportunity in the marketplace to do business. I mentioned before that the word opportunity comes from the word op-port, meaning off-port. Ships can't do much business when you're out there on the high seas. But when they come off-port, right up beside the port, there now is off-port unity. There is time to do business. There is a time to sell and a time to buy and make gain. God told us to occupy, make gain until we come, opportunity. Now this business that we do out in the world marketplace is that we are bringing back to God the property that is owned by the Father, souls of men. That was sold by his first son who was disobedient, named Adam. And by all the rest of us, Adams, after the flesh, being disobedient. But which was redeemed by his first perfect son, his first true son, Jesus Christ. And so we are now commissioned to claim the property that's rightfully his, because it has been already redeemed, the purchase price has been paid at Calvary. And so we have, now we are told to claim the property, it's been redeemed, and to return it to the Father. We are to go to the property and tell the property that you belong to the Father. You've been redeemed. Now come along. The fourth truth that we see in this is that when we put off this earthly body one of these days and are changed, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He is going to display us in heaven as a mature son. And he that is denies me before men, I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. He that confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father and before the angels of heaven. He confesses us. He shows us off before the rest in heaven. We are in the marketplace, and he shows us off as a mature son. We are now in God's image and in his likeness, and he's proud of us. Enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant, for the joys of the Lord. We are now like him. like we would when we were tiny sons. The joys of the Lord. We are now like him, like we would when we were tiny sons, you see. We are now like him. We have grown up to that place where we are adopted, and not adopted after the manner that we speak of in the modern English term, but in this Greek term, adopted, meaning put in its rightful place as a son. That's what the word means. Put in his rightful place as a son. We are now put in our rightful place and shown off to have matured and have been authorized to the Father to do business with him. Now this is a spiritual miracle. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And I know those, I say this for warnings and understanding, for no other reason, I know that those who've left this body that should be here are not getting these truths week by week, they're not getting the same move of the Spirit week by week, they're losing out in the perspectives of God, no matter what God will do for them. He loves them, he'll work with them. God's working with all kinds of people that don't have what he didn't have what we have, to put it bluntly. God loves them, they'll work, they'll win souls, God will work for them, they do not have the maturity, they do not have the opportunity, I should say, to have the same type of revelation because God has put them here. And they've walked away from us. It's too bad. Not really because a head thing, so quite so much as because of heart thing. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, true son. You don't have to settle for adoption after the manner of our English terminology. We can be true sons of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Hold your place in John if you can. We'll be back anyway shortly. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly all fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a fellowship in Jesus Christ with the Father. We have a fellowship because how can two walk together except they be agreed? We have a fellowship because we have one heart with him, because we are from him. Look at John 8, 39 to 42. How many are too warm? Ushers, let's get some. Let's cool this place off. Praise the Lord. John 8:39. The Jews answered Christ, and they said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. He's teaching that you are like your father. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which ye have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. But your father isn't Abraham. In fact, he told him in verse 44, you are the father of the devil. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. He accused him of that earlier. We have one father, God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So here he's speaking spiritually. He said, you're not of your father. Spiritually, you're not of your father. Now, you're not of God, I mean to say. Spiritually, God is not your father. But when all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, become new creatures in Christ Jesus, become likened to him, we then become likened to him, have his heart and his mind, and love him, we then are transformed by a miracle of God to we spiritually all of our Father, and he of God, and he is our Father. Now, I want to develop this part of it. It's the spiritual man that is begotten, not the flesh. You know that your flesh was not begotten. Your flesh is the same as it was before you came to Christ. It's the spiritual man that cries out and can pray and have union. Now your spiritual man can have union with God. Before it couldn't. But your body is not begotten. So the truth is, right now our spirits are begotten. We've been begotten from above. So we are spiritually sons of God, true sons. Our souls are redeemed, been bought back. That's the real you. Our souls are redeemed. But our bodies are unredeemed as yet. That's why we've got two natures. That's why there's a problem now. So we groan, having the first fruits of the Spirit, but we groan to have our bodies redeemed. That's where the groaning comes in. Romans 8, 22 to 23. It's not that we're groaning to have our spirits released, but our spirits are held back by our bodies. What's in the Spirit is good enough. What I mean by that is the Spirit is crying out unto God. Even if you're not doing business with God, really, it's the Spirit man is crying out for it. You just won't let him, that's all. Your body won't let him. Spirit man have his way. Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation, the whole world, all is groaneth and travaileth in pain unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within us, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our what? Body. We are waiting for the redemption of our body. See? Adoption of our body, not of our spirit. We are already true sons in the Spirit. But our bodies are not yet redeemed. Now, God wants us to grow up into adoption to become partakers of his divine nature. I'm going to read to you two scriptures, and the first one quickly, 2 Peter 1, 4, and here it is. Should I get the right one now? Yes. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it's the flesh that lusts, you know. But we were going to be partakers of the divine nature one of these days. The second is Romans 8:29, which says, for whom God did foreknow ahead of time, foreknowledge, he also did predestinate, a mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, Christ is the firstfruits, and we might be also the firstborn. We might be conformed into his image. Now, true rest is when we grow up into his mind, so that we do whatever we want, and whatever we want is his will. We only want his will. To our mind has become the mind of Christ, till we grow up into him so we're like our Father, and so that whatever we want to do is what he wants to do, and then there's true rest inside. Because as long as you want to do something different, that's a little rebellious child, and the father says something, wants you to do something different, and you're under obedience to him, there's constant conflict. But when we grow up to have his mind and his heart, we can do whatever you want to do, and there's perfect rest inside. And so then we could say, like Jesus, who accomplished that while on this earth, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest us always when I pray. And then you won't have anybody in wheelchairs, and then you won't have anybody with diabetes or with glasses or any other problems. Thank thee, Father, he healed all manner of sick and all those with disease and possessed the devil. There's not one that Jesus put his hands on that didn't get healed. He was a perfect son. I thank you, hear me always when I pray. We're growing up into that. Miracles are going to become more commonplace as we grow up into him. We must walk in the Spirit because we have been begotten by the Spirit, and our spirits have been begotten. Therefore, it must be a spiritual walk. Now, I want you to listen. I don't think you're going to have time to turn. I want to read you a short bevy of scriptures to close my message this morning. I don't think this clock's the right time. 25 to 1, is that right? That's right, good. John 3, this may be a miracle in itself. John 3, verse 5 and 6. Jesus answered, verily, now get the connections. Please get the running connections. And if you can't turn real fast, just listen. Jesus answered, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Romans 7, 18. Okay, listen. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Verse 21. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the spiritual man. That's already been begotten. You're a true son, Neil. And so being a true son, you delight to follow your father. You want to do whatever he wants because you're a true son in that sense, the spiritual man, the inward man. But I see another law in my members, the physical members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members, flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You ever felt that way? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, the spiritual man, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now that answers some questions as to why you do what you don't want to do. You feel trapped. You feel pressures on you. You are a true son of God. And as a true son of God, you want union with your father. As a true son of God, you want him. You love him. You do love him. It's a lie of the devil you don't love him. You do. You want him. You seek for him. Inside there's a crying for him. The true spiritual man is begotten from above, and you have the same cut. You love him. You love the Spirit. You love to feel his presence. You love to worship with him. But you're earthbound, hidebound in this old body, which has the lust of the flesh, demanding all the time you satisfy its every lust and want. By lust, I don't mean necessarily evil. I just mean gratification of the flesh. Tastes good, I want it. Feels good, I want it. Looks good, I want it. Sounds good, I want it. I want to feel good. I want to feel safe. I want to rest. I want to play. I want. All things are sometimes in some areas lawful, but not expedient. Some things are not even lawful. But the body wants. And it's so easy to give in to it that sometimes you're doing things you shouldn't do. But the spiritual man doesn't want that. In fact, the proof is the spiritual man doesn't even care about the flesh. He just wants the Spirit of the Lord. You do want him and love him. No wonder Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. Laying aside every weight that is so easily beset us from running the race. Patience. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be under the mind, we serve God. Minded is life and peace. Now, he didn't say if you have any carnal flesh, it's death. We all got carnal flesh. But if you have a carnal mind, because it's by the mind, a new mind, if you have a renewed mind, you serve God by the mind, it says here in verse 25, 7:25. But with the flesh, the law of sin. To be carnally minded is death. That's their mind out there, is the things of the world. That's death. But if we are spiritually minded, it's life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But with spiritually minded, we do. We can please God. We can be subject to Him. Even though we may walk in the flesh and be pulled by the flesh, we still can be subject to Him. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You still walk in these bodies, but you're not of it. You're not in it. You're in the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, your dead, death-doomed bodies. Who should deliver me from the body of this death and make it immortal bodies? That's the redemption of the body we're groaning for, waiting for. That's the adoption we're waiting for in the body. We've already got it in the Spirit, true sons. By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to feel, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Be placed in a true position as a son. When we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, spiritually. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him in the flesh, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature that thus waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the manifestation, so it's made manifest as we grow up into Him. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain unto now, and not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. Galatians 5. 16 through 18, I'll soon be done. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. With Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 and 10 is my last scripture. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not after have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, in the flesh, works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, strive earnestly, to enter into that rest, spiritual rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Must we settle to be adopted sons? Being in a family that we has a father which has different things in him than us? No. We are true sons of God. when he begat us by the Spirit, he did something in our spirit that made us like unto him, that we receive from him. Our spirit is begotten, so that it becomes a new spirit. I don't understand the miracle of the begotten spirit. But he has begotten us a new spirit. He's begotten a spirit. It's a new spirit. It's brand new. It's from him. It's his own. It's his own spirit, see? We are a spiritual man, but he's put something there that is him. That he has made us new creatures. We are like him. It has his life. It has a kinship. It has something that's the same as the Father. And in that respect, we are begotten from above. We are true sons of God. We're growing up like unto Christ, like unto him. And as we look at and reflect as in a mirror to our Father, we are changed from glory to glory into his image. Even as little children mirror and copycat their father and are changed more and more to be like their father. A little girl's copy their mother to be more and more like their mother. And they put on long dresses and great big shoes, you know, for the feet, and they've got the baby buggy and put a doll in it, and they play mother. And other boys play father. They play at their work. They copy. They begin to change to become more like their father until they grow up and they begin to have the same kind of feelings of father. When they get old, they don't feel like a child anymore. They put away childish things. And they become old, they begin to have love like the Father does. They begin to have patience like the Father. They begin to be akin to the Father in the view of things. Their mind is more like the Father. They're not a childish mind any longer. God is causing us to grow up into him. From little children to young men to be fathers, to be workers together with God, because we've known him, which is from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. No wonder Jesus said, the scripture says in Corinthians, to in malice be ye babes, but in understanding be ye mature, be ye grown up men. Let's continue to grow up in God. Praise the Lord. So you're waiting here for redemption of your body and you're groaning inside, but just remember, you are true son of God. That same thing of God is in you. You do love him. The devil's a liar. And we are growing up, and we will grow up to be like him, and he will show us off someday in heaven. But even here on this earth, we will be shown off in the marketplace. People will know that we love the Father, and we'll go business to business with him. This is a marvelous privilege to this revelation to be a partaker with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.